Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from upstairs studio with Lisa Murphy on the telephone. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
Hello, I'm coming to you live from the Poolside Studio.
Poolside Studios. That's a place. We got to build that place. That would be great.
Poolside Studios, but can I tell you something? I actually, right before you transitioned into telling me that we were about to record, I actually had to move into the sun because even while I was talking to you, my phone did that. You're too hot. Freeze up.
Oh no!
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So I'm moving. I'm moving in the shade right now.
You're gonna have to ice your.
And I'm putting my feet in the pool. Not to make you jealous or anything, but you know, you've got the killer deck. I got the killer pool.
You're gonna have to put an ice pack on your phone when you record in Poolside Studio.
I know, right?
Awesome.
Just don't drop it in the pool.
And so
anyway,
yeah. So I got another story for you, Lisa.
Of course you do.
And it's non-child related, non-early learning related, but I think there's all kinds of connections we can make there. So last Saturday, we leave Florida, heading back to the studio here. And it's great. It's Saturday morning, and it's just pouring out, which is a great way to leave the beach. I mean, you don't want to leave the beach on a nice day. And so it's just crappy weather and hard wind and big raindrops. And so we got to leave the beach. And so we drive off and we get about 40, 50 miles down the road and traffic slows. And then slows to a crawl.
I'm already having a panic attack.
And it stays like that for a long time. And we're using Google Maps as a GPS, and it turns into this long, long red line of backed up traffic. And we move along very, very slowly for about 2 hours.
And, oh my God.
And then a trucker pulls up next to us and we got the windows down because we're on this strip of highway and it's 93 degrees out and every vehicle's just baking. And so the old Suburban was starting to get a little bit hot. So I turned off the air and rolled down the windows and this trucker pulls up and yells, asked if we know what's going on, and said no. And he said, well, he just heard on the CB a while ago that there was an active shooter situation up the road.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Apparently some dude had pulled a gun on a state trooper is what we hear.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we got no idea if this is true or not. And we're not moving very fast. So I do a Google search and there's a small story about, you know, this thing is ongoing and they've got the interstate closed down. And so another 2 hours goes by and we start.
Oh,
we're not close to the end. We start approaching the end of the red line, and I realize that we're not getting past the area that they've got things closed down. We are coming to where they've got things closed down. They've got three lanes of interstate getting off at this exit, which means that at some point all these people are going to be trying to get back on the interstate someplace else. So we're just getting started. We pull over there's a gas station, truck stop place there. We pull over, we use the bathroom. Everybody's doing this. A couple more truckers are sharing information. There was just like one highway patrol guy at the exit, and he didn't look like he was going to share any information with anybody. Grab some food at Wendy's, not my go-to place for food, but the only place that there's food. Talk to a mother with five kids who've just been stuck. And so I'm thinking, hey, great for us. We didn't have five kids with us. And the kids are like, we got to drive in the grass for a little bit. And mom said, if we can be good, we can go back to the beach some other time, but we're probably not going to make it to the beach today. And it's like five kids between like 2 and 8. And so mom, she's about ready to pull her hair out. And we get driving again. And
mom is wishing that Wendy's had a bar.
Yeah. Or at least a ball pit.
Right. A ball pit.
And so we follow the detour they have. It's another 2.5 hours before we're moving on the interstate again.
God.
So 6+ hours, we moved 30 miles.
My God.
And it ended up, it was an active shooter guy. State trooper pulls over to check out an abandoned vehicle along the interstate, sees a guy on the tree line, you know, the guy's got a gun, fires 3 shots at the trooper, misses.
Oh my God.
Trooper calls it in, and the guy runs off into the woods. They call in SWAT. One place before we got back on the interstate, there were sheriff department, military vehicles, the big armored vehicles, and I mean they called out everybody.
It was like you were in a movie.
Well, yeah,
you were in a movie.
And they ended up getting the guy. There was a shootout, and they still haven't released. I checked it out today. Still haven't released if the guy shot himself or was taken down by the troopers or what. But he's a 59-year-old guy from Miami. They even listed his name. I'm not going to mention that here. But and so what's this got to do with early learning? It sucked. One of the biggest things, one of the first things I thought we could talk about is the feeling of powerlessness that we felt, because we are at the mercy of circumstances, and kind of had to just live with that. And that's not a feeling that most of us are real good at dealing with. And I think it's something that happens a lot in early learning. I think there's a lot of times where the kids feel powerless, a lot of times where staff feel powerless, where parents feel powerless when they're dealing with situations like biting or those kind of things with their kids, where administrators feel powerless because they can't get staff the training they want, or they can't implement the program they want based on this or that. And so where are you at with powerlessness and early learning?
Well, and just for the curiosity of maybe some of the listeners that care about this, I knew that Jeff and Tasha had experiences, but I didn't really know where he was going to go. I didn't know the story, which sometimes we banter about topics prior to recording, but this time, you know, we didn't. So I didn't know a lot of the nuances or the actual specifics. And the reason why I point that out is because, like, every time you said, like, there's one more thing or one more thing, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I would have just pulled over. Like, I would have...
just pulled over and cried.
Because of that. You know, that, but there was nowhere to go, right?
Yeah, there's no place to pull over to.
There's nowhere to go. Or you're in the middle lane or the fast lane. So it's like, what are you going to do? And, I mean, I was having, not a panic attack, that would be exaggerating, but just that sense of, I'm like, my heart already started racing, and like, I know how I would be in that situation. And it was overly frustrated. And the powerlessness, what I wanted to say about that is that's then when you get that behavior problem that's not really a behavior problem. Because the situation you're describing, like, imagine if that was like the 14th thing that day that somebody had already dealt with, right? So, you know, that's the old kick the dog. Like, the traffic really wasn't the issue, but that traffic and that incident, the circumstance that you're saying, that's the 20th thing today that I've had to deal with. That's when the guy pulls the gun out of the, you know, their glove box, and now you've got this secondary situation that is purely a reaction to the experience that somebody is having put in front of them. And I think it happens all the time. I feel frustrated, you feel frustrated, I feel like stuff has been to me, so now I take it out, whether I'm realizing it or not, on the person I talk to next, when really it has nothing to do with the fact that your hamburger wasn't cooked the right way. It's just that I'm hot, I'm exhausted, I'm hungry, my basic needs have been met, I have to pee, and now it appears as though I'm overreacting. And that stuff has a way, I think, energetically, it pays itself forward the rest of the day. You know, 49,000 people probably had a really shitty rest of the day that weren't even a part of the situation that you guys were in, but you guys, not you, but, you know, all those people had to then deal with other people, and they probably, on some level, were receiving the misplaced frustration of the people who were stuck in the situation. I mean, and it's a tragic situation, and, you know, and who knows why all that happened, but... Yeah. The ripple effect, right?
Yeah,
one guy's decision to make an ass of himself impacted the lives of probably thousands of people that day.
Oh, yeah. And I was waiting. I was kind of watching people because I was waiting for, you know, people driving to freak out about this because, you know, you feel caged in and there's nothing you can do. And so I was looking for other accidents or road rage and that kind of stuff. I didn't see, I mean, I saw a couple people driving like jerks, like they're gonna drive up on the shoulder for half a mile and then squeeze back into traffic. And then they're gonna be a quarter mile ahead of where they were and still not moving. But you know, people...
what you sometimes tell me they won, like you, that one time you told me when I told you I nailed a yoga move and you're like, you won yoga. Like, did you win? Like, you won traffic today? You won.
And even we got to the gas station. I was waiting to see, you know, how are people going to be here? How are people going to be being polite? Are they going to be pushing in line? There's going to be hoarding of peanut butter cups and M&Ms at the gas station. What's going on? But people for the most part,
I think it goes either way.
Yeah.
I think it'll go one of two directions. It's either going to go where everybody now is caught up in that negative mentality, and everybody like instantaneously turns into an asshole, or it's the complete opposite, and you see that people are trying to like jump above the situation, and they're overly polite, they're overly considerate to try and somehow make some kind of karmic balance to what they've just experienced.
Yeah,
that's been my experience, is it goes one of two directions.
Yeah, and I like that phrase "jump above" because that's what we mostly saw from people, and I think that's pretty cool because you know you watch the news and you read stuff online and stuff, and you start thinking that all humanity is just a pile of dumbass jerks. I mean, you really do sometimes, but in this situation that wasn't the case. There was one dumbass jerk that pulled a gun on a state trooper and fired off a couple rounds, and then everybody else was just trying to make the best of the situation for the most part. I mean, the poor state trooper, talk about feeling helpless. You're stopping to check out an abandoned car, and some guy from the tree line starts taking shots at you. That's that's not a great way to start your shift. And then all these other guys that go out into the woods where there's a guy with a gun. I mean, my day was great compared to the day that all those guys had. And that's kind of what we tried to keep in mind while we're going through this. But there's still.
Let me jump in here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, what I would say is that you experienced then the latter of the two things, right? The jumping above. So
yeah.
You saw people kind of being out of their way. That to me tells me, and I don't, you know, I wasn't there, I don't know these people, but it tells me that they have, even if they don't realize it, a sense of that controlling your environment, right? There's absolutely nothing I can do about this situation except control how I respond to it or how I react to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the trauma and it's tragic, right? I get that. But all of that aside from it, there's absolutely nothing anybody, if you step on the freeway, could do about it. So the only thing I can be the boss of is how I respond to it. So how can I do that as effectively as possible without getting caught up in that mob negative mentality? So, you know, kudos to all those people who are stuck there because I hate driving to the grocery store and it's six, you know, minutes away.
And you're going 70 miles an hour.
6 hours to go 30 miles. I would have walked. Dude, I would have just run. Where were you going? I could run.
There
I've been there
there were people that were getting out and walking. We're off on the side road trying to get back on the interstate after we initially got off, and it starts raining a little bit. This mother and her probably 13-year-old daughter hop out, grab their umbrella, got their flip-flops on, and they start walking down the side of the road because dad and the other kids in the minivan are going to catch up with them eventually.
So
how do we take that into our programs, into our parenting, that idea of when you're feeling helpless and you've got no control, the one thing you can control is the way you react, the way you respond.
And that's really it. I mean, I think a lot of times in early learning environments, I think there's an antecedent, something that happens prior that sometimes people actually do potentially have a say in. But then sometimes they really don't. My input on that, purely programmatically, like with an ECE lens, is that if you're in an environment and you know that this is just how always it's going to be, and quite honestly, there's really nothing you're going to be able to do to change it, at that juncture, if you choose to still stay in that environment, that's on you, right? I mean, if you knew, if there was a big sign that said, every time you get on the 70 going north, you're going to sit here 3 hours longer than necessary, and you choose to still get on that road, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Now, I can help navigate potentially around it or figure out a different route or whatever. But if you are always in a powerless situation, you need to either figure out if something, a piece of the puzzle that you're not seeing that maybe would give you a little bit more of that sense of power or control that might be appropriate. But if it's always like that, it might be time to, you know, consider some other options. Because if you are feeling powerless, then you're going to model that. You're going to always be hesitant. You're going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, I know we're not psychologists, but I mean, it's a slippery slope into a very, very dysfunctional pattern of living. And to choose to stay there and then to potentially be modeling dysfunctional behavior to a room full of twos, threes, or fours, it's a layer upon layer of, it's time for some intervention here.
Yeah, because there is no doubt that children are attuned to what's going on emotionally with the adults around them. And so if you're a frustrated teacher of 3-year-olds who doesn't like your job and feels lost and powerless and disconnected, you're showing those kids that that's what adulthood looks like, is those feelings.
Yes.
And you do need, I mean, life is short, and we talk about this a lot. Life is short. You gotta take some action sometimes. And now in those short-term things where there's a thing that's going on and you feel powerless with that thing, it's also important to remember, I can control how I respond. I see this a lot with parents who have kids going through a stage, whether it's a biting stage or a I'm not going to sleep or I'm not going to eat what you want me to stage. And parents can get really frustrated and feel like they don't have any control in those situations. And a lot of time that ends up manifesting itself with anger or yelling and behavior that might not necessarily be the kind of behavior that we want to display in front of our kids. But with that frustration, with that feeling of powerlessness, they don't know another direction to go. And so where do we?
Well, that's true. If you don't have another tool in your tool belt, right? I mean, not to sound cliche-ish, but if you only got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And sometimes you need a screwdriver or a set of pliers. I think I have some random feedback to that. One, when you maybe 10 minutes later realize that you are a little out of control, I will remind everybody who's listening that it is totally 100% acceptable to apologize to the kids and own your behavior and say that maybe you were a little inappropriate and you apologize. And, you know, there's room for that. I think adults are always not sure if that's cool or not, because adults are in a position of, sometimes kids look to us to be the person who's the boss of everything, and that's good, but there's also room for them to see that the air is human, so it's what we do in response to it. The other thing is a reminder to do the, is this really going to matter in 7 years? I mean, if your kid doesn't eat lunch, really, in the big grand scheme of things, probably not going to be that big of a deal. Is your kid throwing rocks through the neighbor's window? Yeah, that might be something that we might want to rein in at that juncture. But it's okay to pause. I love that pause and put it, filter it through you know, some kind of, is this really going to matter tomorrow? Is this going to matter in 7 years? And, you know, I think sometimes that helps us kind of curb that reactiveness, because we're in a hurry. We're on autodrive constantly. And so we don't give ourselves the opportunity to pause and reflect on what's unfolding in front of us.
Yeah. And just pausing and taking that long, deep breath and saying to yourself, this is the way I want to react, but this is the way I'm going to react.
Exactly.
In those situations can have a huge impact.
Which allows you to maintain like some sense of control, right? Like,
yeah.
I am now the boss of this, right? So I might be feeling powerless, but the reality is that I do have a lot of power over how I'm choosing to respond.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
pull
back for a second. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing here is that if you don't have that habit of taking that breath and pausing and responding mindfully, you know, choosing your response instead of just being on automatic response, it's a tool.
You gotta learn how to do this.
Yeah. It's a new tool, and you've got to learn how to use that tool before it becomes useful for you. So the first couple times you try it, it's going to be harder. But as you go about mindfully doing that, pausing and reflecting and responding, it gets easier. Like anything else, you do it over and over,
yep,
and over again, and you build up that skill in using the tool, and then it's a little bit more effective for you. You know, we have these, you know, we travel a lot, and this stuff happens. You have it happen in the airports. I mean, sometimes you just get delayed and you build up that response to it. Take that breath.
But you can always tell the people who never travel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Go back to tool belt. You know, my tool belt's got a lot of tools in it when it comes to travel-related stuff. I can tell within 10 seconds who the people are that only have the hammer. You know, because it's like, rah! and you just want to go up to them and say, calm down. But the worst thing to tell a person who's in that agitated state is to calm down, you know, because that's just going to set them off even more. It's more of, okay, instead of telling you to calm down and not be overreactive, I'm going to actually give you tools, right? So that's when it sounds really silly, or maybe it's not, but that's when I can tell the person that's in two seats behind me that's freaking out. So I instantly get on my phone. I show them the app. You can download this on your phone. This is going to allow you. Here's the phone number that you can call, right? So I might not be able to control the fact that you just missed your flight, but if I can give you some new tools to help you manage through the experience that you're having, then maybe at the end of the day, I did something worthwhile for, you know, somebody in the big grand scheme of things. But, you know, screaming at the gate agent, dude, that's the worst thing to do.
Oh, no, because they respond so well to that.
Yeah, they respond so well to that they now, like, blacklisted your name, and you're not going to get out of here until next Wednesday. And you're going to be like the Terminal movie. You're going to be living in
Jack. You're going to be Tom Hanks.
With Tom Hanks and his volleyball. But anyway.
To wrap this up, as uncomfortable as Tasha and I were with this delay in our journey, Hershey, the chocolate lab, just kind of loved it because we're moving slow. And so I roll her window down, and she's got her head hanging out, and she's getting all kinds of great smells, and people are pulling up next to her, and she's getting waved at by truckers and motorcycle people and kids in the minivan. And so she's just... She's enjoying it. She's thinking, hey, thanks, guys. This is great. And so I guess a lot of this also goes back to our perception of the situation. Hershey's perception was, hey, nice slow drive. Thanks, guys.
So maybe a hashtag takeaway, not to oversimplify what... By the way, I mean, this was a serious experience that you guys had, so I don't want to ever, you know, downplay that. But let's take a page from Hershey's book, right?
Yeah.
What would Hershey's book say to this? Is like, wow, what an awesome slow way that I got some attention. I met some new friends. It actually, when you started talking about it, it wasn't a traumatic situation. It really was just a traffic jam. I think a truck had flipped over or something like that. But driving over the Grapevine in California, which the Grapevine, quote unquote, is this one stretch of path, the Tone Pass. I think it's the Tone Pass. Anyway. And you have to go over it to get from NorCal to SoCal. And one time it was a screeching halt. I mean, it was a parking lot. We weren't even moving. And people were getting out. And I was young. I was a younger person. And I remember adults saying things like, I'll trade you two warm ones for a cold one. And, you know, everybody was walking back and forth sharing snacks with each other.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you saw that kind of, yes, it's a shitty situation, but how can we kind of make the best of it? Because there's honestly absolutely nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, my first
be,
real...
Be like Hershey.
Yeah, be like Hershey, head out the window. My first response when I realized this was going to be a while, I thought, well, story to tell, podcast episode. That was my first response.
Right.
And, I mean, that's the best you can do with them. And so let's wrap this up. When you're feeling powerless, take a breath. Realize that the only in those situations, the only thing you can control is how you respond to it. And you do have control over how you respond. If it's not a habit that you're used to using, if it's not a tool you're used to using, it takes a little bit of practice. But you can take a breath. You can mindfully choose how you respond, and you can work your way through those situations. If you're in a situation where it is a ongoing thing and you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, might be time to make big changes and get out of that situation, whether it's a relationship or a job or something big like that. Got anything else to throw in here?
Here,
here.
No, I'm good.
Hey, we'll be back Friday with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed, feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
One, two, three.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh. Yeah.